G'day Jets fans, it's me, David. Welcome to a double episode of the Jet Stream. We are today discussing a review of last night's, or the night before's by the time you're getting this, 2-2 draw with the Brisbane Roar. We'll also be having a chat about the A-League clash this Sunday between the Jets and Melbourne City, as well as having a chat about the W-League clash between Sydney FC and the Jets on Friday night down in Sydney as well. Joining me tonight are two of our regulars, two of our originals, Bodes. First of all, welcome back to the pod, mate, for your first pod of the year.
Mate, I'm glad to be called a regular, and then you just go and do that to me, say it's my first pod again. So, but I guess you are correct in saying it is my first of the year, so double pods. Wait, did Ferns do a pod at the start of the year? I in fact done more pods than Ferns this year.
Absolutely. No, Ferns has not done a pod this year. You are proudly one up on him. Proudly.
Get that here. Ferns?
Yeah. Yeah, Fern, suck on that. and Emma. Emma, who's also... Well, Emma's up on both of us, both, so we can't really say much about that. Hey, Em, how you doing?
Yeah, this is my second pod for the year.
My issue is only with Ferns.
It's another double header.
It is another double header. It's a compact... It feels almost Premier League-esque, what the Jets are having to go through at the moment. I guess, well, they don't have the squads that we can't really complain about too much football. There's never such a bad thing. But we'll jump straight into the opening question. And team, party pies. It's been a bit of a topic amongst the Jetstream contributors over the last couple of weeks. Is there a correct way to apply sauce to a party pie? And if so, how do you do it? Talk to me about it, Bodes.
Mate, I'm just going to go how I went last one, how I always go. Just dip it. You've just got to get a large dip on it, and if you can, try and get your finger and lather it across the whole thing. At the end of the day, it's only your fingers going on the pie. You don't want someone else lathering your sauce on your party pie. So yeah, I'm going the big dip and then lathering it with your finger.
As a somewhat party pie rookie, what was the technique that you naturally default to?
This is huge news because I am a party pie rookie. I had my first ever party pie as a grown up last night. I hadn't had a party pie since, I don't know, maybe I was 10. So I was a bit excited to have my first party pie. I was so excited. In fact, I didn't even go any sauce on it. So I'm not sure.
That is controversial.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Em. It's been nice to have you on the pod. That wraps up your contribution to the Jet Stream this week. Bodes.
Right? As long as you don't use the master foods.
Yes, that's right. We hope that we actually had to check that out. But we're still waiting for confirmation, actually. But Bodes, I mean, your dipping technique, I mean, I'm looking for more the your grasp the pie by the base and you dip the top in. That, therefore...
Well,
that,
what about the pastry, mate? You get pastry in the sauce and then everyone else's experience is ruined.
Aren't you doing that by dipping the end in as well?
No, if you're dipping the end in and you're doing it nice and softly, getting a nice scoop, you don't get the pastry in the sauce.
What are your thoughts about... Okay, so you don't have a sauce to dip in, you've just got the bottle, the squeeze.
Oh,
are you just
okay
on the top?
You're fine, just... little circle around the top. You're okay.
How do you feel about an injection method of sauce into the meat pie, Bodes?
No. Big no. Big no. For me. It's got to be on top of the pastry.
That's like a food faux pas, is it?
Yeah, definitely. As a kid, I used to do a weird thing, and I don't know why I used to do it. I used to take the lid off and put sauce in it, but I'm glad in my older age I've become more experienced.
I used to do that. I still sometimes do.
Because it's how I still do it. But yeah, I've only... eating pies for like, I don't know, 8 months, so.
Yeah.
But it gets good stage.
Just a shout out while we're still on this topic, and it's going to take up the whole pot if I don't bring that up now. I'd like to give a big thank you to Joel Goodsir, not for the fact he got us in the Chairman's Lounge last night, but the fact that he actually was able to tell me not to take the sausage roll at halftime and in fact wait for the party pies. So a big shout out to him about the party pies. And yeah, I guess the lounge is pretty cool too.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joel. For those that watched the video, you would have noticed that we were up in the lounge last night. I guess a bit of a thank you for a thank you to Joel, of course, and thanks to Laurie who came and jumped into the pre-match video. You can find that on Facebook if you do want to have a listen to what Laurie had to say prior to the game. So, well, guys, with that topic put to one side, let's have a chat about the game. But before we do, here are the highlights from the game. Thanks again to Fox Sports.
It's another home stand for the Newcastle Jets as they host Brisbane Roar, their second match in 4 days. And Brisbane Roar coming to a venue which they have found highly troublesome in recent visits. Perhaps not the venue they wanted to be at as they try to break through for just their second win of the season. And Petratos, the sidestep, still Petratos! A gift is given, and Timmy Petratos says thank you.
Just about to say how well Brisbane had started. They've been a soft touch on the road early in games and found themselves behind.
Petratos goes to work. Vargas deflection and saved off the feet of Young. Good awareness from the goalkeeper, and he knocks it away, denying what would have been a 2-0 lead for the home team. Petratos. Oh, he's rattled the woodwork. Nearly measured it to perfection, and it's turned behind for a corner. Petratos so close to his second of the night. Petratos. Hoffman for the return pass, and it's another point-blank save from Jamie Young. He's having a night, Brisbane Roar goalkeeper, and he's had to. He's tried for the nutmeg on Hingett and pulled it off.
Georgeski once again showing when he marauds forward with the ball, he's a real handful. He's got good energy.
Taggart! Adam Taggart becomes the all-time leading scorer at Newcastle International Stadium in the Hyundai A-League. He overtakes Joel Griffiths and he puts Brisbane level 1-1. Petratos. Newcastle trying to go straight back into the lead. Vargas. And in the ruck and maul of it all, it is turned in! Roy O'Donovan! Parity did not last long, and Roy the boy has got 2-2. Low cross this time, Taggart! Freed the feet, and it's off the woodwork! So close for Matt Mackay, denied at close range. D'Agostino, a teasing ball! And an equaliser for Brisbane Roar! And the man who came into tonight leading the league in shots without a goal has a goal. And it is a hard-earned point for the Brisbane Roar as disappointed Jets fans watch a result slip to a late goal again. An entertaining night, a hair-raising finish.
All right, well, there are the highlights from the match. Bodes, I'll start with you. Are we looking at that as 1 point gained or 2 points dropped?
2 points dropped, mate, but if you'd taken the last 5 minutes by our tactics, you'd say it was 1 point gained.
I mean, it's been a disappointing weekend for the Jets, a disappointing couple of days. Lots of opportunity, lots of chance to take the game by the scruff of the neck, but they just can't seem to hit the target, can't convert the chances. What do you think's the problem, Bodes? Are we taking too many touches that some people have talked about? Are we shooting from too far out? What are your thoughts?
I think I've brought it down to three things. Number one, personnel. I think we're just missing an Andrew Nabu, and a Riley McGree, I guess, too. Number two, luck. I think we're missing luck. I think last year we had a lot of luck. I remember the Perth Glory game where we won that, the death and sort of thing, where we're losing games at the death now. And yeah, and number three, I think teams know how to deal with this now. Like, they're just happy to sit back, whereas last year we were the ones happy to sit back and counter with such fluidity. So yeah, those three things for me.
Em, do you have anything you want to add further onto that about why the Jets are, while they're creating plenty of chances, they're struggling to convert them at a rate that they really need?
Yep, could we get someone out to the university and measure the goals and make sure the ones they're practicing on are actually the same size as the ones they use in the games?
We could. I don't know if that would really do anything for us, but, you know, it's not like we're using something stupid like training goals. M. Bodes spoke about luck, and I know that's something that you've been... You don't really believe in it, if I'm not putting words in your mouth, hopefully. I think that's how I recall it. I mean, do you think that there is that element of luck that's missing, or is it just, I don't know. Like, I'm bewildered.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe in the hoodoo, but I can see how once you have a bad run with, you know, making the chances but not being able to convert any, that does shake for confidence a little bit, I guess. And that probably leaves the when they're trying to take the shot, leaves them second guessing themselves a little bit, which probably leads to, like you said, too many touches, making the wrong decision, making the wrong pass. So, you know, as I said last night, the early goal to get the confidence back, but, you know, I guess that needs to go for each individual player in the different circumstances before they have that confidence back. Because, like, Roy seems to have lost his striker's, the instinct. You know, that finishing touch has just gone from him, and, you know, he's had nothing to do for many weeks, but to practice taking those shots. So obviously it's the game time that's going to do it for him. But yeah, I think, yeah, I'll say it again, sports psychologists, hire more.
I ran some figures, Bodes, around the Jets shots, because I had heard it mentioned in commentary earlier a couple of rounds ago, that the Jets were topping the table in terms of shots taken. And I found that surprising. In 29 fixtures last year, we had 386 shots in total, of which 163 were on target. That's an accuracy of 42%. And we scored 58 goals, which was overall a 15% conversion rate. This year, in 11 fixtures, which is 40% of the total from the previous year's matches, we've had 194 shots so far this year, which is 50% of our previous season's total. 56 have been on target, which is 29% accuracy compared to the 42. And we've scored 12 goals, which is a 6% conversion rate compared to the 15 from the previous year. Is that a stat? Are those figures that would be worrying and concerning Ernie Merrick?
I would be worried, yeah. If I was Ernie Merrick, I'd be worried. Yeah, and I think that comes back down to the personnel thing. At the end of the day last year, Roy O'Donovan at this point wasn't injured, and Andrew Naboo was on fire, and so was Dimitri Petrados. And at the end of the day, Roy's only to his second game back. Naboo's not here, and until the last 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes of last night's game, Dimi hasn't been on fire either. So yeah, I'd put it down to personnel.
We spoke about, you know, I think I mentioned in the pre-match chat that an early goal is something that would settle the nerves for the team, and that's what we got. I noticed as the half went on, though, it was more of the same. I thought it was probably the first half was probably one of our best halves of football all year. Petrados was certainly looking more direct. He was playing forward a lot more. And he was rewarded with that five-minute goal. But as the match went on, we had a couple of chances. Dimi's free kick, the point-blank save from Jason Hoffman, the miraculous save by Jamie Young from a deflected Ronnie Vargas shot. Had we not scored that early goal, could you sense that the atmosphere in the crowd would have changed from being one of, wow, this is really entertaining, we're 1-0 up, this is great football, we're battering them, versus, geez, this is happening all over again, we can't seem to get past these guys no matter what we try?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And I think Jamie Young is an excellent goalkeeper and very hard to get past. And if you'd had several shots that Jamie Young had blocked before you got a goal, then that's obviously going to change the dynamic compared to getting a goal, then having Jamie stop several of your shots. So definitely for the team, I think that definitely helped. And absolutely, if we hadn't have got that early goal, I mean, I walked out going, if we can't beat Brisbane, who can we beat? But if we hadn't have got that early goal, I would have been thinking that all through the first half as well. So I definitely think that does change the dynamic. I'm glad that it happened. And, you know, as I said in the pre-match, I wish we'd had maybe three early ones instead of just the one, because they, I guess, did kind of lose the momentum that they hoped to create.
Bodes, are we at a tipping point, do you think? This sort of thing can go, I see it, one of two ways. We continue to create what we do. We continue to make chances for our strikers to put away, our attacking players to put away, but we don't do it. Can that start to affect the confidence of those around them that are creating the opportunities? Hey, no matter what I do, no matter where I put it, they're just not going to put it away. And it starts to have a negative impact on the team, or we actually come out and everything starts hitting the target, and we're absolutely going to hammer a team. Do you think that we're at that point now where it can potentially swing either way?
Yeah, I think with these next three games, away games at that coming up, I think this is this is make or break. It really, actually, it is. It's make or break time. Look, we're about to take on both Melbourne teams in Melbourne and then take on Sydney. City, they've been up and down all season a bit, but Melbourne and Sydney, you can't, victory in Sydney, you can't deny their quality. So, yeah, I think it's going to go exactly how you suggested, Dave. It's either going to be, we're going to be just wanting to beat the Mariners to avoid the spoon, or we're going to be fighting it out for potentially a top six, even top four spot. So, yeah, these three games will make a break for me.
Emma, are you seeing that as well, as Bodes talked about, that this is a tipping point for the Gents, as I mentioned? Do you want to add anything more?
Well, I guess what's lucky for us is that there's several other teams that are sucking this season. So I think there's, you know, the bottom of the table has a little bit of room in terms of, you know, the Wanderers are also sucking, Roar are also sucking, Mariners are also sucking. So, you know, being in seventh, we do have that room where we can kind of, you know, possibly break into the six if we turn it around. And we have, you know, a lot of company down the lower end, some who are doing decidedly worse than us. So, you know, we clearly can't have aspirations anymore of being, I guess, top four, top three or anything like that. But, you know, you can't give up on the season yet in terms of getting into that top six. So I guess what you want to do is make sure you're starting to win some games before, I guess, the rot sets in, which is what is going to happen if we continue to give away matches at the last minute.
And that's two in a row now where we've conceded late goals that have cost us points. We lost a point against Adelaide. We lost two against Brisbane. That has a massive impact on our ability to stay in touch with the finals and that sixth spot, even potentially higher. Do you think that that's going to have a psychological impact on the team, possibly in the next game, or if we are getting towards the end of matches with that slender one goal lead, that they could start to freak out, it could start to have an impact?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you can write off one as, you know, just bad luck and that's football and whatever. Two is going to start playing on your mind as to, you know, what are we doing wrong and what are we doing in terms of our mentality. Sorry, Bodie, you'll have to drink. what are we doing in terms of our mentality to keep playing for those 90 minutes, or actually that's the problem. We're only playing for the 90 minutes. We've got to remember the added on time as well. So, yeah, I think two now it is going to be starting to play on their minds. If it becomes three and we become known as the team that does that, then, you know, that's going to hurt.
Bose, you mentioned earlier that we're missing the players like an Andrew DeBoot and the impact that they had on us and our ability to convert the chances last season. When we had Naboot, we were a very counter-attacking team, and I've not really seen that from the Jets this season. I'd actually argue, and the point has been raised through different media channels as well, that the Jets are looking to now actually play in a different way. We're looking to create more and hold more of a higher line around the edge of the box, which is something we haven't traditionally done because we haven't had the players to do it. Do you think that... are you seeing that change, and this is potentially a process that we are going through in learning that new style, in learning that different approach to the game, and as a result, once we master that further, that the goals will start to arrive because we learn where the most efficient place to shoot is?
Yeah, I think we're basically now counter-attacking the opposition, I guess, counter-attacking us. The teams now are happy to sit deep and basically saying to our players, come on, break us down. Like, I think sometimes last night when the score was 1-2 and 2-2, Brisbane basically just sat all 11 players behind the ball and just said, right, if you're going to go through us, you're going to have to do a good job of it. And it basically took, I think the first goal Dimi scored was from one counter-attacking player, and the second goal was from a goal mouse scramble. So, yeah, look, it's a process, but you'd hope by now being... what is it, 11, 12 games in, we'd hopefully have that process nailed. But at the end of the day, we were missing our one and only recognised striker for the first eight games, so it's difficult. So now we're basically back to the start of the season. You could almost say that this weekend is round four because it's Roy's fourth game back. So, look, it's I think maybe we're going to be in for a bit of luck the next 3 weeks because we're going to be playing teams at their home ground. And you would expect maybe not so much City, but definitely Victory and Sydney are going to try and play the game on their terms, so maybe that'll open the game up for us. So really interested to see how the next couple of weeks go.
And we're conceding goals at the same rate or thereabouts as we were last season, and that was okay. We were conceding just over, we're conceding, I think, 1.36 goals per game so far this season. That was all right last season when we were banging in 2.5 goals a game. You know, it didn't really matter. I'd argue now that we are not scoring at the rate that we were last year. We're scoring just over a goal a game. That this places a greater emphasis on and importance on the job that the defensive structure within our team is providing. And our inability to keep clean sheets is now really costing us. Do you think that we need to be looking more critically at the job the defensive team are doing this year? I know you spoke about it earlier, particularly around Nigel Bugard, but do you think that they're escaping with some criticism so far?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it's a matter of balance, and if you're not scoring the goals, that is going to put more pressure on the defenders, both in just in terms of balance of play, but also in terms of the importance of keeping the goals out. We have definitely been critical, of Boogs to date, and certainly he didn't do enough in this game for me to change my opinion there. And I think that the key there is that when you've got your experienced players in the back line, that's when you're really asking for them to be, you know, the strength of the team. So if this was a mixed back line with some young'uns and some experienced players, I would be a little bit more tolerant of mm-hmm. the failures in the back line. But, you know, we've mostly had four experienced guys in the back these last couple of games. And they should be doing better than they are, in my opinion.
Bodes, I look at the clean sheet stats of all the teams, and Melbourne City are out on top with 4. Victory and Perth have 3. Whereas the Roar, the Jets, Sydney FC, Wellington, the Wanderers all have 2. It says to me that not many teams are actually keeping clean sheets in this league. Is that for you what separates a good team and a good season from a potentially poor or average season?
Yeah, definitely. Look, last year, I think while we were so well known for attacking, we were solid at the back. Bugard, Topper and Georgeski last year, they were rocks at the back. Whoever played, I know we had a lot of options at left and right back in between those weeks, but they were rocks. We weren't being broken down. And this year, it seems that partnership, especially between Topper and Bugard, is really strained. And I think Emma said it. I think Bugard is just, I don't know. I don't know whether he's going back to his old self in the first year of Scott Miller, where he was making mistakes and stuff, especially on the weekend. But I don't want to go back that far. But I think, without wanting to be too controversial, I think we could look at in a year's time and think, did we re-sign the wrong centre back if we don't keep Topper? I think that's going to be a question in a lot of Jets fans' minds.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and one that I think we'll start to look to ask ourselves the longer this goes on, and as the season progresses, especially depending on the outcome of contract negotiations with Topper, because there was talk that they were being opened, and he's been in terrific form, but yeah, they've kind of gone quiet in the last couple of weeks. If we look at the starting lineup, there were a few changes to the team, the most notable being the return to the starting lineup of John Katrumbis, Emma. It's nice to see him back.
Yeah, it was nice to see him back, and he's done a really good job, I think, getting back into the fitness and the form needed, given what his body must have gone through the last couple of months. So, yeah, really nice to see him back.
Bodes, the second goal, well, both goals, actually, the first goal was created down his side, and the second goal was scored down his side as well. You actually said to me just before, just as Lachlan Jackson was coming on, that you'd be looking to sub Katrumbis because Katrumbis was spent. Did it surprise you that he played 90 minutes in that game?
Yeah, definitely. I thought the way he set up, I would have subbed Katrumbis on 60 minutes, and it was about the 65th minute that I realised Katrumbis was starting to be a bit gassed, and he was super gassed come the 80th minute. I would have moved maybe Hoffman back to right back to finish the game off and maybe look to go to an attacking substitution, but obviously that wasn't meant to be.
We'll come on to the substitution strategy a little bit later, but a player that was many were critical of following the Adelaide performance was Dimi Petratos, Emma, but I thought this was probably certainly the best first half. And Dimi, for me, was probably the most unselfish that I've seen him so far this season. Not saying that he's not normally, but he created a multitude of opportunities for Hoffman, for Vargas, for O'Donovan, as well as scoring one and nearly putting a direct free kick in. I thought he had a fantastic game.
I thought he had a great game too, and I think the criticism he copped after the Adelaide game is probably a little bit unfair. I think people look at his, you know, fancy footwork and think, oh, he's just showing off. He didn't need to do that. If he'd done the simple pass or the simple shot, then he would have pulled it off. But that's how Dimi plays. Like, that's his moves. That's his style. So to try and you know, put him in a box and get him to play like other players, I think is a mistake. And he was still doing his fancy footwork and, you know, everything he normally does and had a much more successful game. So I think it's easy to make him the scapegoat when things don't go well. But yeah, when he plays well, I think the rest of the team plays well. And I think that was something that went wrong for us last year. They figured out how to shut him down. Other teams figured out how to shut him down quite early. So the fact that we were still getting Dimi free and he was able to make those chances, I think, is a really good sign and something that I do hope to see develop more in the next couple of games.
Bodes, I'll start with you, Bodes. Luis Italiano had his first start, debutising for Glenn Moss, who was out with the laceration he sustained in the previous match. How did you see Lewis's performance?
He made a couple of good saves on memory, but I don't think he really had to do much. The two goals, I think he conceded. I think you'd be more inclined to blame his defenders for not marking the man who was attacking the goal. So yeah, look, I thought he was okay. I thought if you put him in comparison to Glenn Moss for the last couple of weeks, yeah, you'd probably say the spot's now his to lose, I'd say. I don't know what you guys think.
I tend to agree. I thought his distribution was really was strong. But for me, the difference that he was bringing out, he was certainly coming out a lot further. While it's risky, he was certainly a bit more of a presence across a broader area of the box. And also the speed at which he was getting the ball back out to the wings or moving the ball on really helped to turn Brisbane around. Em, did you want to add anything more on Lewis before we moved on?
No, I did want to say, though, I do think his distribution is better than Moss's. And, you know, maybe he wasn't challenged too much. And those two that went in, you know, they were poacher's goals. They were freak goals. They were, you know, not necessarily able to be stopped by a keeper of any quality. So I think his distribution is good. And I think that's going to be the difference between him and Moss. But also I would say that I don't think Moss is going to be upset at all. Italiano's been his protege for a very long time. And I think Moss is going to be part of developing Italiano to keep going as the starting keeper, and I think that's a really great situation to be in.
Roy, Emma, you spoke about him earlier. He has now got those two goals in three games since his return. I think if you had said to, regardless of the results, that you'd said to Jets fans, hey, Roy comes back, he's going to bang two in his first three games, how'd you feel? I would have been pretty happy with that, given our struggles prior to that. Are you satisfied with what he's delivered since he's returned?
Almost. I'm almost satisfied. I think it's okay where we're at. I'm still not happy about the time that we've missed and don't feel like what he's done in these last games has made up for the time that he's missed. So for me, I'm going to need to see a few more goals in a few more games to kind of maintain that strike rate before I'm actually prepared to properly forgive him. Sorry.
That's okay. Bodes, at the beginning of this five-game run, I spoke about the importance of getting as many of the 15 points on offer as we could because we weren't leaving the state, we weren't travelling. We have four of our five games at home and the only away game was down at the coast, which has been almost like a home for us for the last couple of visits.
Yep.
There's 16 games left in this season for us. There's 42 points on offer. Looking back over the last five games, we got two wins, two losses, and a draw, so 7 points from a possible 15. Do you think that you spoke about that before? Is that acceptable to you?
On the last month of football with the teams we played, no. No, I personally would have hoped for 10 or more.
Em, do you see the 7 points on offer, or 7 points that we achieved as acceptable? Because we essentially have dropped 3 points. We could have reached the 10 that Bodes mentioned.
Yeah, well, it certainly hasn't been fun. I think Bodes is right in terms of, you know, against the teams we've had, we should have done better. But that's classic Jets, isn't it? We lose against teams we're supposed to beat and we beat teams we're supposed to lose against. So hopefully we're all proven wrong and we go to Melbourne and beat both of the Melbournes and then everything's back in balance.
Yeah, well, it is a tough list of fixtures ahead. We're home once in the next six games. We have two trips to Melbourne, a trip to Perth. We go to Sydney twice, and the one game that we have at home is in a month's time against the Central Coast Mariners. Boy, Boat. I mean, this is such a... We're struggling now. We don't travel well. We don't... Melbourne, and we'll get on to how our performances are down in Melbourne. It's really grim reading for the Jets on paper.
Yeah, this is these three games. I think we've already said it. It'll make or break us. If we come out of the next three games with 0 points, it's pretty well. We've got to start focusing on the ACL campaign, because it'll be our last one at least this season, because we won't be qualifying. So yeah, it's make or break for me.
Emma, is it make or break for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. Is there anyone who it doesn't feel like that for?
No. Look, it's. The fixtures are really weird. I mean, Ernie Merrick does talk about the strange fixture list, but to have blocks of home games and then blocks of away games months at a time is really, really strange to me. I don't know how or why it's being worked out that way, but it is. But it is a real graveyard that we're heading to for the next two weekends. And so it's certainly not going to get easier for the team. Perhaps it will. Perhaps it will, being away from home, not having the added pressure of having to perform in front of your home team, which I actually would see as a positive. But, perhaps that's something we could see. Anyway, well, to hear more about the game, I think we should have a listen to Ernie Merrick's thoughts on the game. Here is his press conference.
Disappointing, Ernie. You probably could have scored 10 goals in the game.
Well, I thought it was... I thought the boys played a really good game under a fair amount of fatigue. We decided to have a real go in the first half, and we did that, and I don't know how we didn't score more goals. Once again, their goalkeeper did a great job. He was stopping the ball with his feet as well as his hands, and the free kick that hit the crossbar, it could have been all over in the first half, but we came out of the second half, and although we did deteriorate and got tired, I still think we created good enough chances to win the game, and if Roy had put that one away, that would have been it. But credit to Roar, they never stopped fighting. They're fighting for their lives, and they got a draw out of it.
There seemed to be a pretty dramatic shift in the first half and second half. Like, what do you think changed?
I think fatigue's a major factor. And they had nothing to lose, so they were obviously going to give us everything they have, and they did. And with just a couple of slack moments, and both one a low cross in behind and the other one a sort of diagonal cross at pace were good crosses, but it should never got to the crosses. We should have shut down the cross early on, especially the second one, which was pretty disappointing. But then our boys were pretty tired, and Johnny was struggling at the back post, but that was Johnny's first game in a long time, and I really thought he played very, very well.
Sort of frustrating results in a row, but do you take anything from getting a point?
Oh, I'm not so worried about the points. I was really wanted the boys to have a go. They had a go. They played under extreme fatigue. They could have had the game all sewn up from really good clear-cut chances, and we keep creating them. And I didn't think Roar had that many shots. It was more sort of crosses. And so our defence played well also, but in that first half, we just totally controlled the whole game, could have scored a lot of goals.
And in the end, was Johnny, that last goal, was him playing a full game, sort of first game back, maybe a mistake for having me out there that long?
There was a lot of them dropping, and Johnny is a pretty fit lad, and so I wanted to keep him on, but they were all very tired. And remember, Johnny at least was fresh. Some of the boys had just played 3 days ago and covered up to 11, 12 kilometres in the game. And I don't want someone like Ronnie Vargas to get injured through over running too hard in a short turnaround, so then you get a hamstring injury, soft tissue injury. But I think we've all come through okay.
And you got to back up again against
them. Yeah, well, every team's got to do it. They've got this festival of football, they call it, and but we knew we'd have 7 games in the month, and we've just got to deal with it, and everyone has. Don't know if it's a good idea or not, but certainly was an entertaining game for the crowd, I thought.
How do you go about freshening them up
for
Sunday?
I have to change some personnel and do what we did, and look at the boys that cover the greatest distance. There's muscle soreness, so they need a day off. They've hardly had a day off, so I'll have to give them tomorrow off. But some of them will be in seeing the physio tomorrow, and they're all pretty educated in doing some recovery work, and then we'll get them in the next day and have a look at them, fly out on Saturday for a game against the City on Sunday.
Changes you made, the starting
seem
to work.
I was happy with the change. I've got to, you know, be critical of myself regarding the change I made. I was pretty happy with all the changes I made, but obviously if I'd had another couple of changes I would have made them. But I shut down the midfield, I thought, and put an extra midfielder in, then with just 8 minutes to go or something I put an extra defender in, so we should have shut it down, and it was a good cross that beat us, and a good header, so credit to Roar for doing that.
Do you know when we can expect to maybe see Joey Chambers coming?
2 weeks, I'd say, maybe before. The whole team's pretty healthy. He's healthy now, he's just not really match fit. We'll give him a run in the youth team, and we've got five boys playing in the youth team tomorrow as well, so I'll give them a run. So we've been keeping everyone pretty well, as fit as we can, playing games, even with the youth team.
It's a great story to see Johnny back out there.
Fantastic story. I thought he was outstanding, and he was up against a very good player in Botiac, so he just closed him down. But Botiac's a seasoned professional. He was came strong at the end there, causes some problems, and Johnny, for 21-year-old just recovering from cancer, I just thought it was a great story, a great performance, and I wasn't going to take him off.
Is he now back for good, or does he need more treatment?
He needs to have a weekend in hospital for some treatment. I won't go into detail. And it's just sort of follow-up to make sure they kill off all the cancer cells. But he's just responded so well. It's a good story. Yeah, it'd have been great if he'd got a goal at the end or something, because he was trying his best. And because he tried to do that, he got caught out at the other end. But I'd rather he works that hard in a positive point of view and maybe concede at the back. It wasn't his fault, but the guy that scored was in his area. But then, you know, there was another couple of players there as well, plus the cross come in very easily without much pressure on the ball. But we've learned a lot.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks very much to Ernie Merrick there. Some interesting points that he raises. He's quite satisfied with, he was quite satisfied with the result. Bodes, we heard from Emma, about her player of the match on the post-match video, and I'll come back to you, Em, in just a sec. But who was your standout performer from the last game?
Kanarowski, for me. I thought he was brilliant. I think he was basically carrying Ry Denton, and it was tight. At times I think he was going from one side of the pitch to the other. So, yeah, he was the standout for me.
Emma, have you changed your mind from Daniel Georgievsky?
No, I'm sticking with Georgie, especially after I've looked at the stats and seen that he's up there in the effective tackle stats and in the passing stats. So I think that reflects what we were talking about in terms of him being very involved in the game last night, and you know, he brings that attitude that I think we need as things start to get a little bit dire. So, yep, sticking with Georgie.
Yeah, I'm sticking with him as well, with Dimi as a close second. Team, before we just move on, I did want to talk about the substitution strategy that Ernie Merrick implemented. He's really the performance of the Jets. They're historically down the lower end of season's performances so far. For comparison, Mark Jones and both Scott Miller in recent times, their seasons are actually tracking ahead of where we are at this point in time. Bodes, right at the end, Brisbane made a very attacking substitution. They removed Aaron Reardon on debut, who had a sketchy game, I felt. And they introduced Dylan Wenzel-Halls, who's an attacker. In We actually created some opportunities by the gap that was introduced by Brisbane moving to three at the back, but we then responded by taking Roy O'Donovan off and bringing Lachie Jackson on. I saw that as a really defensive substitution that I think possibly cost us the game. How are you looking at that substitute from Ernie Merrick? That substitution from Ernie Merrick.
This is how I basically felt when I spoke with Mitch about it at the end of the game. This is the first time I think in Ernie Merrick's reign as the Jets that he's made a defensive defensive mindset decision. Ernie's most normal reaction to a team putting an attacking option is to counter-attack with more attack. So, yeah, I think it was for the first time that Ernie really thought to himself, well, we seriously need these 3 points. I need to preserve, when there was probably an opportunity to leave your faster and more attacking players in the pitch because of how open the game was. So, yeah, I probably am having a shot at Ernie, but after all the good stuff he's done, I'm willing to forgive him. But, yeah, I think he definitely can be put down one of the reasons why we weren't able to win the game.
He spoke about it, that the substitutions were there with an eye on Sunday's match, given the short turnaround for the Jets. Are you seeing it the same way as Bodes? Because I reckon that Ernie was probably a little bit pissed off, because we really should have been out of sight by that stage, and it shouldn't have mattered what substitutions he made, because we should have been well and truly gone.
Yeah, I think he almost would have been better off leaving it and not doing that third sub. I think taking O'Donovan off when you don't really have the game locked up is probably a risky decision, even if you're replacing him with another forward. So, I think it was a bad decision. The rest of the sub strategy I was actually pretty happy with. In terms of the way it played out, I maybe would have liked to see Ugarkovic come on a little bit earlier. But I liked the rest of the subbing strategy. But, yeah, Ernie will be kicking himself and probably will not make that mistake again.
The only other outcome from the game that I'd like to talk about is that, for those that may or may not have seen it, Chris Bowling, the Jets' goalkeeping coach, has received a one-match suspension from the FFA after he was dismissed in the 45th minute for use of foul or abusive language towards a match official. We can only assume that was Sean Evans. He was probably questioned whether a red card was the right card that he was actually going to show Chris Bowling, and to double-check his decision after he pulled a red card out. Johnny Katrimbas, wasn't it? But yeah, Chris Bowling will also miss the first trip to Melbourne. So we'll park that there. We'll go and have a chat about City. And Melbourne City, their form's been pretty good lately. They're very defensively strong, and they're scoring goals all without the Bruno Fornaroli in the team. But that's a bit of a concern for the Jets coming up as such a defensively sound team.
Yeah, I think it's been a bit mixed bag, City. So, you know, I wouldn't dismiss our chances against them completely. They've had wins, they've had losses, they've had draws. So, you know, there are ways to get around them. But yeah, they're a good team with good resources. So, you know, coming off the back of what I'm going to call our little nonsense run, I think it's a difficult team to be meeting, trying to pull ourselves out of that.
Since the game where the whole Bruno Fornaroli issue really came to a head and gathered attention, Bodes, their results have been strong. As I mentioned, they've since they defeated us, they've had one loss, two wins and a draw. I mean, they've really put that issue to bed, and they've responded. Warren Joyce's team have really responded in the best way by, you know, winning goals despite their best player being on the sidelines.
Yeah, I guess the hard-ass Englishman has won out over the creative Uruguayan. So it's not very.
I'd say hard-ass Uruguayan too.
Probably. your Uruguayan's got a bit of creativity compared to the Englishman. So they've played really well. Their game on Monday night Tuesday night. I'm getting my dates mixed up. It's really that bad.
Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday night. Like, I think you could say they were probably saved by Eugene Galekovic. He probably had his best game since probably his Adelaide United days. So, and while we're at it, I wonder what Birighetti's thinking on the bench. He definitely would get a start in our team at the moment. So there's a thought for us. But yeah, City have been really well. I've been super impressed with Luke Bratton this year. I never really used to like him, but he's controlling the midfield for City.
Absolutely. I think even if he wasn't getting a game now, he certainly would have been getting a game for us earlier throughout the season, I reckon, Birighetti, if he had come back. We'll touch on the stats. There's been 26 matches between these two teams. The Jets have won 10, City 12, and there's been four draws. In Melbourne, there's been 12 matches. The Jets, it's a real graveyard. We've had two wins down there to City's 7, three draws. Goals in the fixture, 36 Jets, 52 to City. 14 to 29 down in Melbourne. Cards in the fixture, 75 to the Jets, 46 to City. As I mentioned, the recent form, City have earned 10 points from a possible 15. In their last five, the Jets have earned 7. The leading scorers for both teams are on 3, and that's Ronald Vargas and Richie Delayet, for City. Ronnie Vargas, obviously, for the Jets. The last result between these two teams was a 3-0 win in round 6 this season, where Riley McGree scored in the second minute, just due to Hoffey chucking a Zen and Caravella. Melbourne, as I mentioned before, Em, is a real graveyard. We are winless in 9 down there. Our last win was the 30th of the 10th, 2015, which was our come-from-behind 3-2 win over City. Two of those results in those 9 have been draws. Does that concern you? Looking forward to not just this match, but the next match as well.
I'm trying to tell myself that that will make it all the more sweet when we go down there and win, because the optimist in me does refuse to die. But, yeah, it is a worry. I know that I've said before I don't really believe in those kinds of stats because, you know, there's so many different variables and so many things have changed, you know, since those games were played. But then, you know, we've had players like Joel Griffiths tell us that, yeah, that does weigh on your mind and does change your mentality. So, it is a worry. And I really, really hope that Ernie is doing something to address that worry in the lead up to make sure that it doesn't mess with their heads.
Bodes, would you be looking to make any changes to the team that started against, Brisbane on Wednesday night?
I'm sorry, I'm going to be greedy here. I would be bringing Steve Agakovic back into the starting 11. I at the end of the day, Kantorowski and Agakovic for the last year and a half have been absolute monsters in the midfield together. I think Steve maybe has had his best last couple of games, but I think we need to show a bit of loyalty here, and I'd be going with those two. But other than that, no, I was happy with the starting 11.
And would you be looking to make any changes? Me personally, I'd be looking to reintroduce Jair to the team and move Hoffman back to right back in place of Johnny Katrumbas.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think moving Hoffy back, I think, would be good because we've got strikers and we've got forwards that we should be using. So Hoffy shouldn't really need to be roaming around all of the field. I agree with Bodes, where I think that Jugarkovic should be back in the starting lineup. I don't think that Redenton, I guess, did enough to stay in that starting lineup. And, you know, as a tactic, I thought it was clever, and especially with all the talk last week about Jugarkovic not following Ernie's instructions in the last game and the close turnarounds and those kinds of things. But I think that experiment's done, and they should just put him back where he belongs.
I mean, Kane Shepherd could also be an opportunity to start out wide, Bodes, in place of Jair if he doesn't come back in. I think that though it was a case that he was being rested for ahead of this game. Another option is also Angus Thurgate, who's been brought and who's been promoted into the team.
Yeah, not a bad shout either. Look, I think Shepherd's impact for the last couple of weeks has been brilliant off the bench. I don't think I'd look to change that. I think at the end of the day, I don't think if we had injuries or we had a red card during the game, I don't think Shepherd could see out a game, and that's a risk going into an away fixture. So I'd be looking to take Shepherd off the bench. Thurgate, yeah, it's been funny. When he came into the team in that Sydney game at home and he basically come on and ran riot, I thought, well, this is a really good chance now for Angus now to become maybe not a starter, but at least off the bench every week. So, yeah, maybe an option for the team.
I don't know. I saw him League today, And I don't think he did quite enough in that youth league game to be getting a look in with the main squad this week.
That's interesting. Good. Did the youth team win, Emma?
They did win 5-1 against the Wanderers. Costa Petrados got a couple. He was to me the standout of that youth team. Thurgate, I think, he looked like the heat was getting to him. He was getting a little bit frustrated. He came over for drinks and instructions multiple times during the game. So, yeah, I don't think he's there yet.
Two players who have had histories of soft tissue injuries are our captain, Nigel Bugard and Ben Kantorovsky. Bodes, would you be looking to make any changes with them given the intense load honestly, our players are just not simply used to over this last week or so?
I don't know. I think Ernie's pretty loyal to some players in the team. So, no, I don't think he'll make a change. I don't think he'll make that change.
Emma, do you think that Ernie will be tempted to look to manage Kander or Boogs throughout the game?
Kander, I think, has had a good run, so God, I hope I didn't just jinx him by saying that. Boogs, I think you could take it one of two ways, either rest him so that he doesn't hurt himself, or just let him hurt himself and put himself out of his misery.
Savage.
Look, City play, yeah, well, I'm just going to leave that one there. City played the day before. Is fatigue going to be an issue, Bodes? I mean, they've got an extra day's rest ahead of the Jets. They've also played one less game than the Jets across this period. It's not, for me, it's not all adding up, leaning towards a favourable conditions for the Jets.
No, I'm not so much worried about the one-day turnaround, maybe the extra game. Yeah, it might be worth something. But, look, I think the good thing for the Jets is City are the one with a bit of confidence. Mm-hmm. I don't expect them to sit back and allow us to play. So it might actually play into our favour.
Okay. There are traditionally goals in this game. So, Em, do you want to give us your prediction for the match?
Yeah, but before I do, I want to clarify my last comment and say if you pull Boogs because he might hurt himself, then the question will be raised, have you given him a rest so he doesn't hurt himself, or have you given him a rest because he's been playing shit? So I think pulling him is a bad decision, which is why I say go ahead and let him hurt himself and put himself out of his misery. So I'm not just being a bitch. It is important strategically. So I'm on paper in our tipping competition. I never tip against the Jets because that just hurts me too much, but I think in real life we probably have to get real about this game. I think goals will be scored in both directions, but I think we're probably going to go down 2-1.
Bodes?
Oh, you know what? The optimistic me from the start of the season is still just there, so I'm going to go a 2-1 win.
I'm going to say 2-0 loss this week. I'm not particularly confident. I think that Melbourne City will just be too strong at the back, and we'll struggle to create. The opportunities we create, we'll struggle to convert. So that's that. Disappointingly, boo! Don't we all suck? W League Friday and on Fox and on SBS sees the Jets take on Sydney down at Cogra. Sydney FC are doing really well. They're a star-studded team, but they are sitting in. Oh, they're not doing too good, actually. Sorry, I thought they were higher than they were. They're sitting in sixth spot with 9 points. The Jets are sitting in eighth with 7. Remembering that it's the top four that go through to the finals in the W League. This is a massive match for the team, Emma. It is really getting to the point now that every game for the Jets is must win.
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit earlier in the week. Sydney, you're right, are a star-studded team, but they haven't been doing as well as they should be doing with the team they've got available. And we've lost quite a few of our stars, and we have quite a few injuries to carry. So beginning of the season, I was very confident for this W League team for it to be our best season ever, and quite frankly, I just want them to scrape through without any more major injuries by the end of this one.
Bodes, it was a really disappointing loss for the team on Monday. With that late loss to Adelaide. Do you think the quick turnaround will work in their favour as they look to come out and respond and make a statement following that game?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I think a quick turnaround lets them the opportunity to right their wrongs. I guess like for the boys as well, they had the opportunity to right their wrongs from Sunday, but Yeah, the male and the female team both seem to have the same problems at the moment. Just can't hold on to results in the last couple of weeks, and just having a real bad run at the moment.
It looks like Emma Cassidy Davis and Larissa Crummer are both set to return to the Jets' defensive line. They've been the two centre backs for the team so far this year. That's got to be a massive boost for the W League team.
Oh yeah, thank goodness having Crummer back in is going to make a huge difference. I think it was very difficult in the last match with so many players being out for the girls just to keep going for that whole time. And, you know, at the time I was heartbroken that they let a win turn into a loss in the space of 4 minutes. But looking at it now, when I look on paper and see how many players they were without, it's probably miraculous that they managed to hold on to the 90 minutes. So, you know, getting some strength back in the back, I think, is definitely going to help. Obviously, we've got to think about where those goals are going to come from as well.
Yeah. So what are your predictions, Em? How do you think the Jets will go on Friday night?
I think I said already to someone else that I don't think that our girls can take this Sydney team, certainly not on paper. I do hope they can. I think there'll be goals, but I don't think it's going to go our way. So I'm going to go 2-1 again.
Bodes?
Yeah, I'm not as optimistic for this one as I am for the boys. So, yeah, I'm going to go with them, a 2-1 loss.
I actually think that we can get a 1-1 draw out of this. It won't be enough to keep us in the finals hunt, but I think that we'll look to start to actually have some form of response to this. All right. So we'll move quickly on to fantasy, and this is a matter of exception. As someone's very horny in the background there. Just wanted to give a shout out to producer Pete, who this week came equal second in the A-League Fantasy Football League, the Fox Sports Fantasy Football League, with 115 points. Drew Mansfield, who is passenger Jets, so he's, I don't know whether he is a fan or not, he might be, but he came top with 119 points. So well done, Pete. Equal second overall, that's a massive achievement with two other people. But Bodes, mate, you're actually performing really well. 653 points, you are the leading scorer in our league. Well done.
Mate, in typical Liverpool fashion, though, I am trying not to let it slip to one Jetapool FC right behind me, so...
Yeah, I'm 6 points behind, mate. I'm just waiting for my time to pounce. There's a bit of a gap between me and Craig Thompson in second, roughly about 30 points. But, I'm right on your tails there with that A-League comp. And I'm actually enjoying this comp more so than I am the Premier League competition because, we're not going to talk about last weekend's matchups at all in that Fantasy Premier League comp. Emma?
We're not. I think everyone knows what happened then.
Well, tell everyone what happened. I think they can probably tell.
Yeah, I finally won one, and I won one against Dave. I haven't been doing very well. It's taken me a while to get the hang of fantasy. I gave up on the A-League one because it was too clunky, but the Premier League one is very nice to use. And I've now beat Dave and Glenn in head-to-head. So... I think I'm finally starting to get the hang of this.
And you smashed us as well because I think I was the third overall in our league for the points, only to be drawn against you, who one of the two people who scored more points than me that week, which was absolutely amazing. So, well
That's
done,
crazy. Em. A team that gave Liverpool that gave me all my points. So, yeah. That's spoiling.
I can't be cranky at Liverpool. All right, so let's wrap this pod up. It's prediction time. So, Friday night, Sydney FC versus Central Coast Mariners. Home team are obviously the first team I mentioned. Emma, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bodie special straight up.
Okay, 4-0. Bodes, what about you?
I'm so happy to be finally on a preview podcast to be able to say it. Sydney FC 4, the Central Coast Mariners 0.
Oh, we have a Bodes special. Well done. Nice work. I'm going to say 3-0. To Sydney FC. Saturday, 5:30 kickoff, Adelaide versus the Knicks. Emma, what's your prediction?
Look, it might be influenced by the time I've spent with the Phoenix boys this week, but I'm going to have to back the Knicks for that one, and I'm going to say 2-1 to the Knicks.
I'm saying 1-1 in this fixture. Bodes, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. 1-1.
Western Sydney Wanderers are the game that follow this, and they host Melbourne Victory at 7:50 p.m. on Saturday. Boats, what are you thinking about this?
Melbourne Victory 3-1, mate. I think the Wanderers are, they just can't wait to get into their new stadium.
No Keske Honda in the team this week, and the Wanderers are in poor form. Do you think that that will be a factor in this game, Em?
Yeah, we were talking about this last week. Last episode. And I think Lucas was like wanting a tip for with Honda in and without Honda in. So I think I said previously that I don't care because I dislike both teams, so I'm going to pick a one draw.
I'm going to say just a 2-0 victory to Melbourne Victory in that one. Finally, on Sunday, Brisbane host Perth in the in whatever they call this one. They probably call this some sort of derby, the best Upper Isha derby. Why not? Bodes, Brisbane and Perth, 7 p.m. Perth missing Economides, but still scoring the goals. Brisbane, well, look, we know what they did in their last game, so yeah, let's not talk about it anymore.
I'm going to get Brisbane to win. Not that I thought that they were brilliant last night. I just think Perth are due a bit of a bobble, and it's just good for the league if it was to happen. So yeah, I'm going Brisbane.
Emma.
Ballsy. I think that's all Brisbane have got. That was their little bump after getting rid of Aloisi, and now they'll be done again. So I'm going to go Perth to win 3-1.
Yeah, I don't think Brisbane will get much from this game, though Daniel Bowles will return. I think Perth will win this one 3-1 as well. So that is that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us today. We hope that you've enjoyed the podcast. A couple of previews and reviews all molded into one with the festival of football that we've had over the last couple of weeks. We hope that you're enjoying the podcast. Thank you for everyone who listened to us last year, and hope that you continue to enjoy our offerings over the coming year as well. We didn't get to say, well, I certainly on my last pod, I didn't say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. So Happy Christmas and Happy New Year. So, Bodes, Emma, thank you very much for joining me.
Dave, pleasure.
Until next time, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go Jets.
Go 64. Go 64 slices of American cheese.
Bought
toasty. Oh. Nah, I don't think I can watch that.
Yeah, I watched the first 30 seconds and went, no, not me.
I watched the freeze frame and went, no, not me.
Too funny. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!